Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy world? So welcome to the 542nd edition of SDG. Folks, this is 2022 Endgame Update number 6. And then later in this message, folks, after we cover all the news that they'll never tell you, the forbidden truth, we'll tie it all into the promise. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, that all those who came before us, before the good news of the gospel, having obtained a good testimony, how? Through their faith, did not receive the promise. So what is this promise the Bible tells us about? Well, I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can be partakers of the promise. But as always, folks, the bottom line is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out what the latest news that lie in mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's 9/11 events that are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But as I tell you every week, folks, and been telling you for nearly 2 years now, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's look at something from last week's show. Now, last week, we looked into the news report that there's this 19-unit-long string of what are known as nucleotides found in the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon that is the exact same as the chain patented by Moderna back in 2017. And if you want more details on that, folks, go back and listen to SDG 541. Now, what are the probability or odds that in a 30,000-link chain, 19 of them can be identical when there are 4 amino acids that make up these couplings? Well, if you do the statistical analysis on that, folks, it's 1 chance in 3 trillion. And honestly, that's just not possible in reality unless it was planned. So you have to conclude that the people at Moderna back in 2017 when they patented this already knew what the SARS-CoV-2 pathogen looked like.
What?
That's right, Paul. These folks knew the exact chain that they were modeling the vaccine after. Not in 2020, after the so-called, 3 years before, folks. And like I said, the odds of that happening are 1 in 3 trillion. So now, things that we've been talking about for the last 2 years begin to make a lot more sense. Remember last week we replayed what the Moderna boss, I forget his name, but he was talking about genetic code and being able to rewrite the genetic code using mRNA technology. And he talked about this in a 2-minute clip that I've taken out of a TED talk from 2017. Let's re-listen to it.
So I started my professional life about 30 years ago as a nurse in the pediatric intensive care unit. And I remember this one infant, let's call him Jonathan, who came in really, really ill. Seemed to have a rare genetic defect, but in those days, gene diagnosis was still in its infancy, so we couldn't really figure out what's wrong with him. And in the years since, As I've trained as a physician scientist, we've been living this phenomenal digital and scientific revolution. And I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease. So here's all the biology you need to know in 30 seconds. Our body is made out of organs. Our organs are made out of cells. And in every cell, there's this thing called messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmits the critical information from the DNA, our genes, to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made out of. This is the critical information that determines what a cell will actually do. And so we think of it like an operating system. And it's not just in every cell of our body, it's actually in every cell of every organism alive. It's the same thing. And so if you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code, it turns out that has profound implications for everything from the flu to cancer. And I'm going to demonstrate that with three short examples.
There you have it, folks.
Well, bro, Ken, there's no proof that that's really happening with these jabs that we all got three of, and now they're talking a fourth one possibly. Yeah, that's certainly not true. That can't be true. There's no proof that's really happening. That deserved a double buzz. That kind of, what do you want to call it, stinking thinking, folks? Because this paper comes out validating this very assertion. Now, this was a paper published by a group out of Lund University in Sweden confirming that mRNA nanoparticles from the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, and remember, folks, all of these are analogs to one another. It's like poison A versus poison A prime, you know? It's one and the same. So this study has confirmed that these jabs, upon entering the human cells, are reverse transcripted into DNA, and this happens in the liver. And this achieves a permanent alteration of that individual's, that victim's, genetic code. Folks, they become human 2.0. They become something other than a quote-unquote pure-blooded human. And this is something that the CDC had continually lied about over the last 2 years, claiming it was impossible. Now, folks, this is a legit study. You can go look it up in the Journal of Molecular Biology, and it's titled Intracellular Reverse Transcription of Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 mRNA Vaccine. I'm going to give you the number because, remember, in the Pfizer documents we covered about a month ago, Pfizer admits they're using three different codes in terms of all their jabs they're giving. One saline solution. One is this concoction of Dr. Strangelove's genetic altering technology. And the third one is something else. So the one we're discussing right now with regard to the human liver DNA transcription issue is BNT162B2. Now, this study concluded that this particular jab, the BNT162B2 mRNA, is reverse transcribed intracellularly into DNA as fast as 6 hours after the injection in the arm. Now, remember, they said, oh, it just stays localized. It stimulates the immune system. It doesn't go anywhere else in the body. It stays right there in the arm. That's been proven to be false. Folks, this jab, and they call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine by the classic definition of a vaccine, folks. In fact, this entire virology is really questionable, folks. You know, there's a whole other study out there of illness, which is based on exomes, and it's called terrain theory. And, you know, I'm questioning everything in my life anymore, folks. The only thing I know to be true anymore is the Word of God, applied mathematics, pure and applied chemistry and physics. That's it. Everything else has been manipulated, lied about. Astrophysics is not physics, folks. and I don't want to go on this. I'm just telling you, folks, these jabs alter human genetic code hours after injection. And there's proof now. Yet another lie that's being foisted upon the public year after year. Now, these same people are telling us what to believe and what to think about what's going on over in Ukraine. Russia bad, Ukraine good. What about those 150 million Russian people over there? Is anybody praying for them? You know, I've never seen this kind of craziness. Yes, it's war is horrible. Yes, we have to do everything we can to maintain peace. But in order to have peace, folks, you have to know both sides of the story. And we're only getting one side of the story. But I digress. We have to keep moving, folks. And now it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, let's get started with the coronavirus heist.
It's a scam, damn it. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and bunch of bull.
Yeah, you know, folks, it is a bunch of lies and mind control. Now, like I've been saying over the past week or two, phase one of the Great Reset rollout, the scamdemic, is winding down. In fact, very soon, if things don't change, we may have to drop this as our opening segment. There's just more news relevant to where these oligarchs, now these are the true oligarchs, you know, the 1%, the proverbial they, that are moving and shaking the world, you know, the George Soroses and the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts and the Rothschilds, these uber-rich people that love to twist words, calling these Russian billionaires, you know, these men have $15-20 billion, and they're the oligarchs, they're the evil, wicked people. You know, these one percenters that I'm talking about, the Soros and the Gates, folks, they earn that kind of money in one transaction on one day. Yet we don't call them oligarchs. Do you ever notice how we call it the Putin regime and his dastardly oligarchs? Yet we call it the Biden administration and his trusted advisors. Who are the real regime makers here, folks? And I'm not saying Putin's good. He's not. But let's look at both sides of these stories, and we don't. But I digress again. So the cat's out of the bag on the scandemic, so to speak. Too many people are waking up. You know, there's this Bayer executive who admitted late last fall, that the jabs are not vaccines, but literally gene therapy. I have a minute and 30-second clip of Bayer executive Stefan Ulrich bragging about the mRNA shots being gene therapy and how crucial this is, and almost like giddy in his delight that he had a international faux crisis, so to speak, because this was all contrived to roll out this new gene-altering technology. Listen to him.
For us, therefore, we're really taking that leap, us as a company, Bayer, in cell and gene therapy, which to me is one of these examples where really we're going to make a difference, hopefully, moving forward. There's some, ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before. But it's not just the industry that has to innovate. It's across all the value chain, starting with academia and university. And again, the World Health Summit, and I can only applaud the initiative, is a perfect example for that, because Ditlev, like nobody else, I think you've created a network of university medicine. It started with very few, and today, I think it's somewhere here behind me, you can see the example of all those that participate. We need to make sure that the knowledge that's created in our universities, in our academia, is translated before it goes into shiny paper publications. It's translated ideally into patents and into applications, and that results in new treatments, medicines, devices, but also medical procedures. That's what we need if we want to keep up with innovation.
Shazam!
Well, Gomer, that's exactly what I said. Shazam! You know, this is what the Truther movement has been saying all along. So, folks, did you hear what Ulrich said? We are really taking that leap to Drive Innovation Company. That's the Nazi-founded German company we all know today as Bayer. You know, Bayer Aspirin? Folks, they were one of the Nazi war machines' primary companies to supply chemicals to the Nazi war movement. And now what are they doing? Cell and gene therapy. Those are Ulrich's words, not mine, folks. They are doing the stuff that the doctors, the German doctors, were trying to achieve in those war camps where they did all those dastardly medical experiments. Folks, nothing's changed. Put different names on it. They are still trying to move us into the Fourth Reich. You know, these things are sickening. So what's going on out in the news with all this? Are people being honest in the news media and reporting? No. The lying factor sites, places like PolitiFact and Poynter Institute, they continue to insist that these are not genetic modifiers. These jabs do not alter your DNA. You know, PolitiFact attacked Joe Rogan's one tweet, or I guess it was a Telegraph post. The mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are really gene therapy. That's what Rogan tweeted. And then the PolitiFacts come out and cite a Forbes article that says Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna mRNA vaccines are not gene therapies. Yet we just heard the Bayer executive, Olin Stephan, or Stephan Ulrich, state that that's what they are. And I just talked about an article published supporting every assertion that the truthers have been making for 2 years. And then this one comes out directly denying what Ulrich just said. And this is from the Poynter group, the Poynter fact checks. Fact checked by Chiquendo. And I wonder who this dude Chiquendo is from Argentina. False. A Bayer pharmaceutical executive admitted that messenger RNA vaccines are cell and gene therapies. And it goes on to explain that he didn't really say that. That's not what he meant. Well, that's what he said. And let's listen to it again, just a short little excerpt from that. And I'm going to repeat it, what he said, three times at the end of it.
For us, therefore, we're really taking that leap, us as a company, Bayer, in cell and gene therapy.
So here we have the Poynter fact checker, Chiquendo, whoever he is from Argentina, stating that this executive really didn't say that COVID-19 is gene or cell therapy, but...
For us, therefore, we're really taking that leap, us as a company, Bayer, in cell and gene therapy, which...
There you have it, folks. I've played it not once, not twice, but three times. And then in the last two plays, I repeated what he said, selling gene therapy, three times. So now you've heard it a total of seven times out of the mouth of the Bayer executive. So who's right and who's wrong? Is the Poynter fact checker Chiquito right? Or is the Bayer executive who moves and shakes and does all this stuff right? Well, who is it? But folks, when you think it can't get any worse, then this Australian health official comes out admitting that these mRNA jabs are causing myocarditis deaths. Listen to this.
Yes, it does concern us when there are deaths at home. From the few reports that I've been seeing, we're seeing reports of people having an illness for a short period and then sudden deaths, and we've reported about those earlier on. That's been reported elsewhere in Australia, around the world, where it's myocarditis, which I think I've referred to on a previous occasion. But we are certainly keeping a close eye on, though, particularly when there are deaths. We investigate those particularly if there's anyone who's died at home.
So that's why I'm saying, folks, that the entire scam concerning this mysterious invisible enemy, the China virus, that whole narrative is falling apart. That's why they have to move to something else. So now we have the fear of a cyber attack, you know, grid down situation. If there's the dastardly Russians hacking our power supply or our telecom system or our banking system or all three. And then we have all of this craziness right now with all the excuses for hyperinflation. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Folks, I'm telling you, these governments of the world, these World Economic Forum-trained leaders, if you want to call them that, and big corporations who also have their leadership trained by none other than Klaus Schwab, have colluded and conspired with the Economic Forum. You know, that's the meeting you hear every year at Davos where all of these uber-wealthy politicians and big business and big communication people all get together in a murder-for-profit scam against we the people. And that's a war crime, folks, known as democide. And the World Economic Forum's oligarchs, and they're the true oligarchs, folks, have infiltrated, these are Klaus Schwab's words, not mine, governments worldwide. Now, again, people that don't listen to this regularly may say, Ken, you're overreacting. This isn't really what's happening. Well, let's listen to Klaus Schwab, 2017, lauding his group, the Young Global Leaders. Just listen to what he says and how proud he is that he's infiltrating entire cabinets of countries like Canada and I think it was Argentina and even Putin.
When I mention now names like this Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Trudeau, and I will know that half of this cabinet, or even more half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, who is a young global leader, but what is important?
So these people are colluding. These people are conspirators, folks. That's the true conspiracy. Let's blow it wide open. We, the people, have the power. Folks, this kabuki theater is driving me crazy. It truly is. Now, think about it. The news flash this week was that the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab has disavowed Putin and have removed everything referencing Putin from their website. Well, you know what? That doesn't change the fact that Klaus Schwab said that Putin was one of his guys. And let's listen to him say that. And again, I repeat it several times.
When I mention our names, like this Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
They all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, the people out there that are naysayers to this say, well, you got to be younger than 40 years. And then they do the math and they say, Putin was beyond 40 years at that age. Well, folks, guess what? Newsflash. Klaus Schwab gave a couple allowances for key people like Merkel and Putin so that they could be trained in their marching orders just like all the other good robots that are moving us towards the Great Reset and the New World Order. They've all been incentivized, folks, these global leaders the leaders of the medical industry, law enforcement, public servants, bureaucrats, you know, the non-governmental agencies. Money is the root of all evil. All of these groups have been incentivized by money or threatened by exposure. You know, typically they get them into whatever their weakness is, drugs, prostitution, pedophilia, and then they hold that over their heads. That's what Jeffrey Epstein was all about, folks. This is a profit and power scam, and they manipulate these people to follow their orders. These predators are a criminal cartel, folks, the uber wealthy individuals, the true oligarchs that are moving towards an agenda that isn't good for you and me. They're going to destroy the wealth of the middle class, the foundation, the backbone of any stable society. And that's what this process we're seeing right now is all about. You know, it's not these wealthy Russian billionaires that are being demonized by the media. Now, I'm not saying they're good people. I'm not saying they're squeaky clean. That's not my point. What I'm trying to say here is that it's not these men that are causing all the problems today. It's the Warren Buffetts, the George Soros, the Bill Gates. Those are the true oligarchs, folks. And then they have their little minion growing up behind them. You know, the Jeff Bezos, the Zuckerbergs, the Elon Musks. Yeah, and he's controlled opposition, folks. If you think for a minute the good old Elon is out there tooting his horn for us, I have another thing coming, folks. I can sell you some land down in Florida, a little southwest of Miami. You're going to love it. But you know what? That's the bottom line. That's it, period. And then how about Australia's Ardern? You know, she's literal insanity, folks. And she's a Schwabite graduate, too. Just like Friedland and Trudeau, they're all liars, murderers, and thieves. But you know what, folks? I have to keep moving. Did you hear what came out last week? It was a Blaze TV exclusive, and God bless that man. You know, he is doing so much good work. Ever since he left Fox, I can't believe all the stuff he's doing. It's amazing. Now, these documents were obtained by Blaze TV or Blaze Media through a Freedom of Information Act request from HHS showing that health, what's that stand for? That's the one bureaucratic system under the CDC, I believe it is. They paid major media organizations, including cable TV news stations and other publications and digital influencers. They had a budget of over $1 billion. Now, this money was used to push the vaccine. So places like Fox News, NBC, ABC, they got money to produce propaganda for the state. Here's one. This was Elton John and Michael Caine being cute for NBC. It's an ad that was actually paid for by the government.
Elton John, audition, take one.
My name is Elton John.
Cut there. Little less showbiz, Elton.
My name is Elton John.
Bit more showbiz.
My name is Elton John.
Let's go for your Michael Caine impression. Let's see what it's like.
My name is Elton John.
Beautiful. Cut there.
The more people in society that get vaccinated, the more chance there is of eradicating the national COVID pandemic. It's really important to know that the vaccines have all been through and met the necessary safety and quality standards.
So this is the bit where you're going to have the vaccine now, Elton. So
right.
Just kind of pretend that you're having the vaccine from a nurse.
Oh!
What was that, Elton?
That was me acting.
Okay. Let's cut there.
And as you can see, I'm still standing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, Elton. We'll let you know.
Oh. Well, at this short notice, you won't find anyone bigger.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Michael Caine. I've just had a vaccine for COVID. It didn't hurt. Not many people know that.
And cut there. Marvis, that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Claire, let the little fella know he didn't get the job.
Now the average person listens to that and chuckles. Oh, it's so cute. Let's look at the big names they have. Michael Caine and Elton John did a commercial. It must be okay. Elton John said the jabs are safe. That's what he said, folks. Paid for by the government using your money with an agenda of democide. But we have to keep moving. Right now it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Talk Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means solve. Boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu means to slam or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflation before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, before we get into Kabuki Theater, folks, I want to just welcome the listeners that are coming on now at 7 o'clock, our scheduled broadcast time, and explain to you what I do. I give myself a half an hour allowance, and provided everything is working right, so the internet's streaming properly, and all of my show notes print out okay, and all my clips are working, and I still have time, I move that broadcast time up by 30 minutes. What that does is that gets this program on the air and documented a half an hour earlier, freeing up some more time in my day because, folks, I'm being honest with you. I carry a very full schedule. Right now I'm looking outside and we've got about 6 inches of snow. It's beautiful. It's one of those late winter, early spring snowfalls. Back in 1993, on actually tomorrow, December 13th will be the 29th anniversary of the blizzard of 93, where we had, I think it was close to 30 inches fall on our area in less than 20 hours, I think it was. In fact, PPG actually closed the research center I was working out. It took me an entire day to dig out of that mess. The snow was too deep to use a snowplow. I had to use my high lift and dig it out. But anyways, that's what I do. So if you're just tuning in now, as I see some people coming on the switchboard right now, if you're just tuning in right now and you're wondering what's going on, that's what happens. So if you like to listen live every Saturday morning, set your alarm clock for 6:25 and check and see if the show's actually coming on early. That just means that I got everything ready and everything's working and I can start a little earlier. So there's so much craziness going on right now. Did you hear about that substitute teacher who was suspended for not parroting the state's approved talking points on Russian invasion? So this was insane, but this is a 2-minute clip. Where's he at? He's in Arlington, Virginia. And this is the local news station in Virginia talking about this. It's a 2-minute clip, and I'd like you to just listen to it, and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
In the schools, they're suspending a substitute teacher for trying to push Russian propaganda on students.
The incident is raising a lot of questions in the community. Fox 5's Maureen Ulay is live outside Swanson Middle School where this happened with the story. Maureen, good morning. Still a lot to clear up here, huh?
A lot, yeah. Good morning to both of you. I just spoke to the substitute teacher, John Stanton, who's offered a little more clarity about what happened here. He says this was on Friday during a world studies class, world languages class, Spanish. He says he went off script for about 10 minutes to talk to the students about what was happening between Russia and Ukraine, and said that he talked about how he can understand Russia's point of view when it came to attacking Ukraine based on their world perception and their geographics, so to speak. Well, Stanton tells me that he was told that a student recorded him, and then that student showed the recording to their parents who went to school officials, and without anyone talking to him, he says he received a letter yesterday that he had been suspended. Stanton says he is not pro-Russian. He says he was trying to offer an alternative viewpoint of what was happening in Russia and Ukraine. He says he's lived in Russia and is a journalist who's always observing and asking questions. Now, Stanton says he did encourage his students to seek information sources from both the West and East before forming opinions. And now he did respond to the letter received from Arlington school officials, writing in part this. He says, more was expected of young people long ago, sheltering them and feeding them one-sided information is a grave mistake with long-term consequences. Now, Fenn does have a very lengthy resume, and as I pointed out in my earlier reports, he has written for some pro-Russia propaganda outlets like Pravda, but he says he counters that he's also written for pro-democracy outlets like Counterpunch, and so there is really quite a balance. Again, he says he's a journalist who observes and writes about things in his long career. He says he's 65 years old, has no intention of re-seeking his job here at Swanson Middle School because at this point he says he believes it's a lost cause. He says he's a writer, and that's what he'll continue to do. Back to you.
All right, Maureen, thanks very much.
So there you have it, a 65-year-old substitute teacher and journalist. And, you know, folks, I had people like that. I told you about my world studies class in eighth grade. It was actually taught by a red-blooded communist. He wanted us to embrace socialism and collectivism. And I had a similar thing with Mrs. Goodwin in my advanced English class. She was promoting the homosexual gender confusion agenda back in 1979. So here's a man who's just saying, hey, why don't you stop and think and understand that there's two sides to every story? And so he gives the Russian perspective in terms of threats to their homeland. You know, what happened when Cuba placed missiles on their land, Russian missiles on the land? We had the Cuban Missile Crisis. So Putin is actually, and I'm not saying he's a good guy, folks, he's not. But a sovereign nation that feels threatened acts certain ways. And I think that's what this teacher was trying to give his students, a balanced perspective on the Russian-Ukraine conflict. Yet this wasn't acceptable to the state operatives who monitor his speech. Folks, I'm telling you, in a truly free country, this sort of behavior by the government and the bureaucrats is unacceptable. Think about what these bureaucrats who suspended him probably thought. Oh, how dare this teacher give a balanced perspective on this conflict when the Ministry for Truth has already dictated to right think on this subject. You know, it's hilarious, but it's actually what's happening in our country right now. So then they send out their Stasi secret police, and they've got the little kids from the Hitler Youth Movement, the brown shirts, reporting on their teachers and parents. Did you hear about that boy that was coerced by the Department of Justice to wear a wire on his dad for the one hearing from the January 6th debacle? This is Big Brother criteria, folks. You know, here's how they think. They want citizens to do what George Orwell referred to as right think. And when you do right think, you get rewarded. When you do wrong think, you get... Now, how are they going to do that? Well, with the digital money that Biden announced. You know, folks, they had plans in some of these stimulus bills that were passed, you know, the $1.5 trillion bill, for digital currency, for biometric cards, which you'll need to use your funds. They're going to wipe out the dollar, folks. They're going to wipe out the savings of average middle-class America and put us on a digital currency system with a social credit score. So if you don't mind your P's and Q's, and if you pull something like this substitute teacher did, look out. You know, the old Soviet Union had two state-sponsored newspapers. And I think they're still there. One was called Ivestia, and that roughly means news. And then the other was Pravda, which is the Russian word for truth. Now, in the Soviet Union, they had a standing joke, and that was that there was no Pravda, truth, in Ivestia, and no Ivestia, or news, in Pravda. You get it, folks? And honestly, what's going on in our country right now, it reminds me of the same thing. You know, our CIA-run media is essentially Pravda and Ivestia. So this teacher is a bad man for simply challenging his students to ask questions, trying to understand why. For example, why did Putin invade Ukraine? Why? What's going on? What caused this? You know? What were the agreements set up between Gorbachev and Secretary of State James Baker when the Berlin Wall fell during the Reagan administration? Remember Ronald Reagan saying, Gorbachev, tear this wall down? Well, Gorbachev did, and then they met. for security arrangements to maintain the stability of Europe. And there were certain agreements that the satellite Soviet states would not become NATO members. They would remain neutral as a buffer to maintain balance of power, to maintain security, international security. And there was this slow creep, you know, the death of a thousand slices over the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, the Obama administration. And then we see this crisis because there was perfidy, broken promises by the U.S. State Department and NATO going against the agreements between Baker and Gorbachev way back during the Reagan administration. But we have such short memories here. Who remembers this? And no one's going to remember this story either, folks. Shell Oil buys Russian oil at bargain prices. So Shell snapped up a cargo of Russian crude at a super bargain price after these embargoes came in. This was reported last Friday when a 100,000 metric ton order of Russian oil was bought by Shell Oil for $28.50 a barrel, below the price that was benchmarked on Brent crude. Yet nobody's talking about this. We take all their lame excuses, folks, for why we have inflation, hyperinflation. It does, and did you hear what the Democrats did this week? I think it was at 2 a.m. one night. They passed another $1.5 trillion spending bill. Yet I don't hear anything about it on the news. And then Biden was actually out there yesterday in a presser claiming that it's Putin that's doing this. And I'm getting, oh, he was at a Democratic fundraiser or something. And he's getting all worked up and animated saying, it's not government spending that's doing this. Folks, that's propaganda. So we heard about the local news in Arlington, Virginia. And they referred to this as Russian propaganda, what that teacher was trying to do. Well, let's listen to some good old-fashioned U.S. propaganda. Now, back in 2020, during Biden's campaign, he said no more drilling. And then listen to what Psaki said, lying about it. This is a 34-second clip.
No more subsidies for fossil fuel industry. No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. Ends.
So the suggestion that we are not allowing companies to drill is inaccurate. The suggestion that that is what is hindering or preventing gas prices to come down is inaccurate.
Would President Biden rescind his executive order that halts new oil and natural gas leases on public land?
Well, 90% of them happen on private lands, as I'm sure you know, and there are 9,000 unused approved drilling permits. So I would suggest you ask the oil companies why they're not using those if there's a desire to drill more.
Would President Biden ever undo his executive order that stops the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline?
Are you suggesting that would solve the gas prices issue?
Well, do you think that that would maybe affect prices faster than getting the whole country off of fossil fuels?
I actually don't think it would.
Did you hear the propaganda there, folks? So she says, well, the most drilling happens on private lands, and that's true. There are 9,000 unused permits, and that's true. But what she doesn't tell you is why there's 9,000 unused permits, because when Biden came in, he tightened the drilling restrictions and the requirements that the oil companies have to abide by in order to be in compliance for drilling on private and public lands. And this affects mostly offshore drilling because within states, there's a lot of guidelines that are directed by the local Department of Environmental Protection. So in Pennsylvania, it's the PADEP that does all gas and oil drilling. And folks, I know a lot about this because I have private gas wells on my property. That's why Terry and I are literally energy dependent. And praise the Lord, I'm so grateful for that. I'm not hosting, but I'm telling you, folks, there are certain guidelines. But now they're offshore, the people get involved. So there are 9,000 unused. And then for her to actually say to that reporter that she believes that if we all get onto electric cars, we'll ease this crisis faster than we could if we just opened up U.S. oil. That's a blatant lie, folks. There's no infrastructure in place. the lithium and the cobalt needed for these batteries in these cars, a lot of it is found in Ukraine and Russia, the very countries that we have all these embargoes on. There's no plan in place for disposal of these spent batteries. We're going to have an ecological crisis, and they call this green. And you know where 90% of all the energy generated for these electric vehicles? Coal fired furnaces, natural gas, if they really tried to do this. Folks, do you see the hypocrisy here? So the mainstream media is reporting on this crisis in Ukraine, and what they're telling you is all kabuki theater. A lot of reworked imagery from past conflict, refabricated news reports. They're actually taking pictures of soldiers sitting there, woman, as they leave for the front. This is the base to the Great Reset. When I see that. And the cash global petrolabs in Ukraine. And that's a fact. I have those pages now from the Wayback Machine. And if you take a map and superimpose that map upon a map of all these apparently random bombings around the country that Putin's doing, guess what? You'll see that these so-called random acts of war by Putin are in many cases in the exact locations of these biolabs. They're not like random. They are targeted attacks on these biolabs.
What?
That's right, Paul. They match like a glove. And sadly, in many instances, these biolabs are in residential areas, and there's collateral damage. You know, you got to wonder what Putin's thinking. You really do. And if you want to achieve diplomacy, if you want to achieve peace, you really need to understand what your adversary's thinking. But no, what do? They cut them off. And then they cut off the country of 150 million Russians from all global economy. Now, at first, that might sound good. We're going to get them. But you know the flow of resources goes back and forth. Much of the fertilizer comes from Russia and Ukraine. Much of the food for Europe comes from Russia and Ukraine. There's a give and take, folks. And when you stop commerce, you promote war. And that's what's happening. Now, people are still out there poo-pooing this whole biolab thing and saying it's not true. And earlier this week, an official spokesperson for the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, comes out and challenges the U.S. on these biolabs. So I have a 58-second clip from this Chinese Communist government official confronting the United States on its 336 biolabs located around the world in 30 countries. And according to China, there's 26 of them in Ukraine alone. So listen to this accusation from China.
Recently, the U.S. biological labs in Ukraine have indeed attracted much attention. According to reports, in these facilities, a large quantity of dangerous viruses are stored. Russia has found during its military operations that the U.S. uses these facilities to conduct military plans. According to data released by the U.S., it has 26 labs in Ukraine. The U.S. has 336 labs in 30 countries under its control. The U.S. has also conducted many biological military activities in Fort Detrick. What is the true intention of the U.S.? What has it done specifically? The international community has long held doubts. Once again, we urge the U.S. to give a full account of its biomilitary activities at home and abroad, and accept multilateral verification.
Sorry, folks, had my mic on, mic muted. So that was an accusation by China. And then, of course, the Biden administration denies it. Or should I say the Biden regime and his oligarchs, they deny it. And then I think the day after that, an undersecretary of the State Department, her name was Victoria Nuland. Now she's appearing before a Senate committee and answering a question by the rhino Marco Rubio, and she admits to these biolabs. Listen to this.
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
So there you have it. Newland admits to U.S. biolabs in Ukraine, and I think it's all a setup. They're going to use this as a false flag, and here's how I think it may go down. I think there's going to be a release of some bioagents, some nanoparticle technology similar to what they did with the SARS-CoV-2, and they're going to blame it on Russia, a false flag by Russia when it was them that did it. So I think this was a setup. Now, Russia claims, and they had a UN Security Council meeting yesterday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I didn't look into that. I ran out of time. I didn't know what the outcome of that was, but Russia's claiming that the U.S. has been developing these bioweapons, and there's a U.S. denying it, and then here's Victoria Nuland admitting it. But I'm telling you, folks, the U.S. establishment, the deep state, the one percenters, can't admit anything, because if they do, I should say they can't admit anything truthful, because if they do, this entire web of lies and deceit that they've spun to move us into the Great Reset, it all falls apart. And they can never admit that Russia's being more truthful on something. Now, you've got some naysayers out there. You've got people on social media and Substack, Berenson. He's out there poo-pooing all this. You know, I'm starting to wonder about him. What's his agenda? Why is he really doing this? But anyways, I don't want to get into that now. I'm just telling you, folks, that a key to the entire U.S. foreign policy establishment narrative, their propaganda, is that countries like Russia are incapable of telling the truth. And so they use this for all the meddling that they do in the foreign affairs of so many other countries. Yeah, it's an atrocity that the U.S., that Russia attacked Ukraine and invaded that country. That's an atrocity. But you know how many times the United States has done that since 1776? The United States has done it more times and more often than all other countries in the world combined. Yet what are we? We're the purveyors of democracy. Well, a little bit more on democracy later in the show, folks. I'm just telling you that this is all kabuki theater. So the sad thing is that I see the Republicans and the Democrats all marching in Operation Lockstep on this matter, and Ukraine in particular. And I think it's because there's a lot of skeletons in the closet of both Democrat and Republican alike. Think about it. In 2014, the U.S. CIA installs a puppet government in the Ukraine. You know, this man in charge there, Zelensky, he was an actor, a comedian, and he was World Economic Forum trained. And he's a front man for the Western establishment. And then there's aid money sent to this new government. And it all disappears. And then Biden's boy, Hunter Biden, gets a job over there as an executive in an oil firm, yet he knows nothing about oil or management in terms of a CEO level. That's just corrupt payback money. And then 10% goes to the big guy. That's Biden. And Soros is involved there, too. The way that whole thing was fomented back in 2014 was what's known as a color revolution. And then wind the clock ahead to 2016, and there's the surprise victory of President Trump. So they set him up with this whole Russian collusion narrative, all found to be true. They're funding secret bioweapons labs. And the reason they do that, folks, is because it's illegal on U.S. soil. Now, there's other theories out there that they needed to contain the Russian scientists after the fall of the Soviet Union, so they gave them make-work jobs. And I understand all that. But there's research being conducted in these government-funded labs, U.S. government-funded labs offshore, that has been deemed illegal in the United States. And now what do they want? They want World War III. Why? Because the money system has fallen apart and they're getting ready for the Great Reset and they need a scapegoat. Folks, that's what's going on. That's what's behind all this. you know, as usual, yesterday's conspiracy theories becomes today's news. And that's what you see. Now, folks, I wanted to talk a little bit about this guy named J.D. Rucker. I've been following him for quite some time. He's a podcaster, a solid conservative thinker, makes some very good points. He's the woman that interviewed, he's the man that interviewed that Chinese woman, the whistleblower, who warned us about the hemorrhagic fever outbreak. That was from Rucker's podcast. And so far, I haven't heard anything about that. And praise the Lord about that. I'd rather be informed and not see it happen than not know it and get caught flat-footed. So thank you, God, for not allowing that to happen. But, you know, he was talking about what's going on over there. And I think he had some very good points. You know, he was talking about the deadly jabs and could care less about the millions that are being affected by it. And then don't even get me started on the abortions, the millions of abortions every year. Yet they're talking about compassion due to the crisis in Ukraine. And yes, it's a crisis, but that's a faux empathy, folks. That's a faux compassion. That's a compassion. That's doing the right thing for the wrong reason, like we talked about a few weeks ago. So did you notice how this almost overnight turn from demonizing the unvaccinated and pushing the whole scamdemic narrative to demonizing Russians and anyone who would question the narrative, like that substitute teacher? Do you see how this happened almost overnight? Nothing else could have done it except a conflict like this on a geopolitical global scale. Yet what's really scary here, folks, very unnerving, is that if you're a lucid American patriot and you're asking questions, you're becoming ostracized. You're becoming demonized. You're becoming a Russian lover. The furthest thing from the truth, folks. It truly is. So I thought Rucker did a really good monologue on that. It was on Substack. If you want to see it, go out to J.D. Rucker's Substack account and look for it. It's very good. Very good. Now, the bottom line is this. Don't believe what our government or corporate media is telling you about this crisis in Ukraine. It's propaganda. They have an agenda, and that agenda is the Great Reset, digital currency, a control grid that's going to grade you on your social credit, whether you comply or not. Remember, these are the same people who lied about the vaccines, the efficacy of face masks, the whole Donald Trump-Russia collusion thing. You know, they told us that the 2020 election was the most secure and accurate in history, yet we have all of this information coming out from those swing states that the media is just turning a blind eye to. You know, Wisconsin is on the verge of a decertification. This isn't funny, folks. Corrupt elections have consequences, and we're living through one right now. So if we're lied about all this, telling you the truth right now about what's going on in Ukraine, I'm telling you, folks, they're not. But I have to keep moving. I'm looking at the time, and I only have an hour left, and we have a lot of news to cover. So right now it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. There she is. Hey, Henrietta, good to see you. You got snow all over you. Don't shake it off in here. Okay, so what I want to do, folks, is give you a chainsaw update. You know, about a year ago I told you I bought an Ego cordless chainsaw. It was one of the top of the line with a 56-volt lithium battery. And it was really good for little storm cleanups and stuff. So I've been using it when a tree falls and I've got to get to work and I don't want to smell like chainsaw oil and gasoline. So I'll grab that, cut the tree, throw it off to the side and clean it up later. Well, I had some cleanup work to do from a storm that went through 2 weeks ago. And I went for my Ego cordless chainsaw that's been fully charged. And it gave me about 5 or 6 cuts, and it petered out. And I'm thinking, what's wrong? Is this battery dying already? Because the battery's about 80% of the cost of the saw. And it's a good saw, folks. It cuts. I've cut 18-inch logs with it. And I've cut up entire trees from an 18-inch log with it after felling the tree with that saw. So I know it's a good saw. I didn't know what was going on. I had to go get my gasoline chainsaw and finish the job. So then I dug into it a little bit, and I learned, oh, this battery is designed to self-discharge over a period of 90 days of inactivity to preserve the lithium battery. And that's fine. I understand it. But what that means is that you have to constantly charge these batteries if you want to be in a ready state for an emergency like I had when this tree fell. So my conclusion after all of this is that the cordless saws are good, but the battery technology isn't quite there yet if you want something on the go. So when I was doing all the cleanup work, my trusty Husqvarna from the 1990s, the Husqvarna 36, broke. So I went online and I said, oh, I'm going to get some parts to fix this thing. And lo and behold, you can't get the parts anymore. So I had to get a new saw. And I did some research, and probably the two best are Husqvarna and Steel. Now, Steel is American-made. Husqvarna is Chinese-made. It's a Swedish company, and they've been buying up a lot of companies like John's Red, and I think they bought up Poulan. So Steel and Husqvarna are the two biggies right now. And in my conclusion, Steel is a better saw if you buy up. If you buy their economy brands in the $200 to $300 price range, though, you're getting a lesser quality saw. For about $250 to $300, you can get a good utility saw from Husqvarna, but you're getting a Chinese-made product versus an American-made product that would cost you about another $100 to get into the Steel line of an equivalent. Now, Steel has price point equivalents, but they're not as good. So that's my assessment. I think I'm going to continue to need, and I ended up buying a saw, and a gasoline saw. So I have my gasoline saw and my cordless, and I just don't think the cordless battery saws are up to snuff quite yet. But now we have to keep moving, folks. It's time for our Hopium update, the Hopium report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
So, you know, I put this next report in the Hopium Report because here's a normal, red-blooded American guy, a 20-something guy from Arkansas, a UFC fighter whose comments after one of his fights has gone viral. It's gone so big that he was invited on Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson interviewed him. So I have a clip of UFC Bryce Mitchell talking to Tucker Carlson about his stance on the Russia-Ukrainian crisis. Listen to this.
We are honored to have Bryce Mitchell join us tonight. Bryce, thanks so much for coming on and for what you said. I haven't seen anybody express it better than you did. Why did you say that?
Well, thank you so much for having me, brother, and I said that because that's the first thing that I thought when he asked me, and I was trying to give him the best answer that I could, and that's just my genuine thoughts on the subject.
How do you get to be so honest when everyone else is afraid to say what they think, and you just kind of say it?
Well, I don't have to be worried about being fired from my job for saying what I want to say. There's a lot of people out there that do agree with me, but they can't say things that I get to say, even though they think them. They'll get fired from their job if they come out and say it. Dana White's pretty good with how he lets us talk and say what we want.
That is absolutely right and a fair thing to say. Now, people who say what you have said are often denounced as unpatriotic or traitors to their country. Does that confuse you, since the first thing you said was, I will fight and die for Arkansas?
That'd be the greatest honor I could ever have, brother. So I'm far from not being a patriot. You know, that'd be the greatest thing I could do is die defending this land. So I'm not afraid to do that. I'm just not wanting to go waste my life fighting for some of these battles that I don't even believe in. I believe our leaders, a lot of these elites, are guilty of treason. What they've done is just treasonous, and you know, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about a little bit.
It's funny that they're accusing you of treason. Why do you think almost everyone in the media, and I mean almost everybody, in both political parties, and of course the White House, are all on the same page that you need to get behind this war with Russia? Why is that so important to them? Do you have any sense?
Well, I don't exactly know what their agenda is with the whole war on Russia, but I do know that all that money that's going to the Biden family through Hunter Biden, He doesn't have the merit for that position he's got over there. They've used our tax dollars to bribe him a job. You know, if me or you did what Nancy Pelosi did and got millions in stocks, we'd go to prison for insider trading. But she does it, and she's filthy rich. So these their families are getting very greatly compensated while they're taxing us to death. Inflation's higher than ever. They close down all of our pipelines and wonder why the price of oil has gone through the roof. These people are trying to destroy our country because they are profiting off the downfall of our country. And if y'all don't see what's going on, you are blinded. Every day, you know, our inflation gets worse, our debt gets worse. Our actual currency is controlled by a small group called the Federal Reserve that ain't federal and ain't a reserve. So it's insidious in nature. It's made to control. We have a lot of problems, and it's going to take a lot of things to fix it.
It's amazing. It's amazing what you're saying, all of which is, in my view, true. So for our viewers who aren't familiar with you, because we were so struck by that clip that we played last night and part of it tonight, we got another clip. This is you training at your ranch in Arkansas. We're going to play it. So that's where you live. So, I mean, I think it's fair to say you're pretty rooted in the ground of this country.
Well, this country's made up of, you know, small businesses and people like myself that are anything from rich, you know, but that work hard every day and have goals, and that's what this whole thing is attacking. It's attacking the small business, the mom-and-pa shops. You know, they're paying the consequences. All this COVID stuff, it's killed small businesses, what they're doing. They're giving bailouts to the big businesses, and in Arkansas, they shut down businesses for 3 or 4 months, however long it was. They wouldn't let us open up our gyms and this and that. And we're tired of this politics crap that's going on. It's evil is what's going on. Evil has took over this nation, and we ain't afraid of it, and we're ready to fight.
I think you're exactly right in your assessment. Tell me about, since that clip of you saying that at the press conference has spread so widely, 20 people have sent it to me, what do your friends and neighbors in Arkansas say to you? Do they agree with you?
I've had people coming out the woodwork just supporting me, and then they've been telling me also, you know, you need to load your guns up because somebody's going to come out there and try to take you out for what you're saying. And that's how worried people are about the state of their country. My friends think that my life is could be at risk because I'm coming out here and speaking truth. You know, I have people saying, hey, load your guns up, be ready. So, you know, and I'm just telling you, that's what people are telling me right now. You know, yeah. They are worried about my health because I'm coming out and speaking the truth. That's the type of suppression and oppression that we're living in, brother. People are worried about it.
Well, you hate to think that's true, but I know where they're coming from. There's a lot of malice out there. I think you speak for many people, and I'm really glad you were brave enough to say that. Bryce Mitchell, thank you for joining.
Well said, Bryce Mitchell. And folks, I wish you could have seen Tucker Carlson's look on his face when Bryce was knocking off some of these key points concerning the corruption by the establishment right now. You know, when he was talking about the war in Ukraine and what it is and what it isn't, you should have seen Tucker's face. When he went on to the money and what the Federal Reserve is and isn't and what our money system is, oh my, you should have seen Tucker's face. Same thing when he got into what politics really is and what true patriotism is and how he got on to hard work and what the whole scamdemic was about in terms of undermining small business. Folks, this UFC fighter, he gets it. So I put this in hopium because I just have this shred of hope that people like Bryce are going to wake up people. Folks, you ought to see it outside right now. I just looked out my window here from my office. And there is a total whiteout. I can't even see past 10 feet out my window. It's totally white. Just a little side note there. I'm sorry. I just turned my head and I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of snow. We're probably up to 7 inches right now, folks. So we've gained about maybe 3 inches since I started the show an hour ago. Anyways, we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
You know, folks, last week's Absurdian report was chock full of Absurdians. And, folks, I'm telling you, with this crazy state of affairs we're in, this segment could become our largest and most pervasive segment of all. And it's looking like that trend continues this week. You know, last week I mentioned CBS's absurdity of a war within a war. Well, others are picking up on it now. So, you know, they're claiming that this is a war for the transgenders. And that was in the CBS News report last week, and I didn't have it. Well, I have that clip right now. It's a minute and 27 clip, and it's talking about this 31-year-old gender-confused individual. And I'm not mocking this person, but this is a man who thinks he's a woman. Z Famlu, born and raised in Crimea, now living in Kiev, running out of food and unable to leave his house for days, now weeks, because of the gunfire and the fighting, and unable to emigrate to Poland because of his passport and the fact that he refuses to wipe and give himself a haircut and dress in some jeans and a shirt. So he has to continue to cling to this lie that he's a woman when he isn't. Otherwise, he could just, like I said, put on a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, throw over a winter coat, throw a winter coat over that, cut his hair, wipe off the makeup, and go across the border with his passport as a man that he truly is. Then you want to get into all your gender confusion crap on the other side of the border, do it, but don't make this an issue. Listen to how CBS is doing this.
Sometimes we think it's just all a dream, that we stuck inside some kind of a video game, because you just you live in a quiet society and then you hear bombings and then you wake up to the sound of bombings. I don't want to go outside. I'm literally scared for my life. All my friends left the city. My neighbors left my floor and I think my building. This is not a very rainbow-friendly place. So lives for trans people are very bleak here. If you have male gender in your passport, they will not let you go abroad. They will not let you through. A war within a war, truly, truly. Every noise from outside, it's a warning sign. It was hell living as a trans person in Kiev in Ukraine. We feel invisible, truly. Like we're not people, like we're not human. It's truly how we feel.
Folks, did you hear what he said? If you have male gender on your passport, they won't let you pass. Well, you know why that is, Z? That's because you're a genetic male. So why don't you get a haircut, wipe off the makeup, put on a pair of jeans and a shirt, and go to Poland where you'll be safe. Folks, this is pure absurdity. And it continues now. Vice.com picks up on this story and has an article, trans people stranded and alone in Ukraine following Russia's invasion. Well, then do what somebody threatened would do. And do whatever you have to do to save your life. Wipe off that makeup, cut the hair, put on some men's clothing, and get across that border. This is total absurdity. And yet it continues. Did you hear Kamala Harris this week? I mean, every time she opens her mouth, it's absurdity. But this last one on going electric, it's almost like the Biden regime and his oligarchs are literally, and you know, Kamala Harris and her husband have more money than some of the people they're calling oligarchs from Russia. This is what's so pathetic. Pelosi, some of the other big names in our government have more funds between them and their spouse than these people that they're demonizing in Russia. And again, these people aren't saints in Russia. I'm telling you that, but let's look at the absurdity here. So here's Kamala Harris almost gleefully saying, just go buy an electric car. Listen to this 41-second clip.
Imagine a future. The freight trucks that deliver bread and milk to our grocery store shelves and the buses that take children to school and parents to work. Imagine all the heavy-duty vehicles that keep our supply lines strong and allow our economy to grow. Imagine that they produced zero emissions. Well, you all imagined it. That's why we're here today. Because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Well, let me clue you in, Kamala, a little bit about the possible and the impossible, the practical and the impractical. You know, Graham, a guy that's working with us, my partner's son, worked on Wall Street for many years, and then he became a CFO for a school bus company up in New York, the largest in New York. And I asked him about these electric school buses, and he said, it's a big scam, Ken. We buy a school bus for $90,000. We have to pay $350,000 for one of these electric buses. But the government pays $300,000 of them.
Really?
Yes, Elvin, that's called that's called scandal. So what they do is they make an appropriations bill, they fund it, and then they set up some scam company that tries to make battery-operated school buses, and they get a kickback of $300,000. So these school bus companies, they only have to pay $35,000. So they're net $25,000 ahead. But here's the problem. These buses only have an 80-mile range, and that's far too short for most of these routes, especially when there's heavy traffic in New York. Plus, here's a bigger problem. There's no infrastructure in place to charge these buses. And Toyota's actually warning about that as they gear up their battery plants and they're doing all this. Folks, if you look at the lots where these school buses are parked, and especially high real estate value areas like New York City, they literally have 6 inches between each school bus. And the mirrors fold back and they have to park them in these slots. Now, if you look at the charging requirements, you cannot get enough chargers in place to charge these buses in the real estate that they have to park the buses. Now, the real estate is so expensive up there that you can't double the space. It's not economically possible. So there's no utility infrastructure. There's no space. There's not enough range on these batteries. And then here's the big thing that Graham said. He said, you know, we have all sorts of environmental impact studies we have to do. And there's no plans in place to dispose of these spent fuel cells after they wear out in somewhere between 8 to 10 years. And he said it's an environmental disaster in the making. Yeah, these are the greenies, folks, the people that don't even understand where food come from, that throw half their plate of food away every night at dinner time, and they put it in the garbage. They don't compost it or feed it to the animals like we do here. You know, folks, we have a garbage bag, we have a glass and metal bag, and we have a compost bucket under the sink. The compost goes to the chicken, stuff in the trash bag goes to the burn barrel, and yes, folks, we burn. We burn out here, and I burn plastic. Oh, yeah. Turn me into the EPA. But, folks, that's just what you do in the country. And then the glass and the cans, we throw those in a recycle bin. Yet people that are touting all this green stuff, they just throw everything in a garbage can and throw it out. So who's really worse? And then did you ever see the vehicles these people drive? Do you ever see what Buttigieg rides around in? Or Kamala Harris with her whole motorcade? The private jets? Come on, give me a break. But, folks, we have to keep moving. It's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So I promised last week that I'd talk a little bit about the difference between a democracy and a republic, yet you hear nothing concerning a republic unless you hear about the People's Republic of China or the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. So a republic must be bad. And then all you ever hear over here in the news is democracy. Well, you remember I played this song from Leonard Cohen? Leonard Cohen mean when he said democracy is coming to the USA? Well, you know, Leonard Cohen was a Buddhist, a thinker, a musician with that raspy, soulful voice, and he wrote music that makes you think. So what did Leonard Cohen mean when he said democracy is coming to the USA? I thought democracy was already here. Well, here's a 5 minute and 47 second clip that does a very good job explaining the difference.
At the close of the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia in 1789, legend has it that a woman called out to Benjamin Franklin to ask what kind of government the delegates had created. Franklin responded, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." A republic? Shouldn't Franklin have said, "A democracy"? Isn't that what we have in the United States? Most people today would say yes. After all, if our country isn't a democracy, what is it? It's not a dictatorship, the rule of one man, or an oligarchy, ruled by a small group. In America, the people are in charge. That's literally what democracy means in the original Greek. Demos, kratos. The people, demos, rule, kratos. But let's pause for a moment and consider more deeply what the word means in practice and why the delegates in Philadelphia rejected it. That's right, rejected it. Our government was established by a national charter, the Constitution of the United States. We are governed by the institutions and according to the rules and principles created and adopted when our forebears ratified that document, making it the supreme law of the land. Are those institutions, properly speaking, democratic? The men who bequeathed our form of government to us, those we call our founding fathers, didn't see it that way. They understood the institutions established by the Constitution to be republican. In fact, though the founders believed in government of the people, by the people, for the people, as Abraham Lincoln put it in the Gettysburg Address, they did not believe in pure or unrestricted democracy. They feared that democracy, strictly speaking, contained within it the impulse to mob rule, the stifling of civil liberty, the trampling by majorities of the rights of minorities. To put it more bluntly, pure democracy frightened them. So while they built into the Constitution significant democratic elements, they also built in non-democratic features to protect liberty and prevent tyranny. It wasn't simply that they favored representative government over direct democracy, though they did. It's that they rejected the idea that the majority wins was by definition the just outcome. Indeed, in what is perhaps the most famous of the 85 Federalist Papers, Federalist 10, James Madison, precisely in distinguishing a democracy, which he did not favor, from a republic, which he did, noted that a crucial advantage of republicanism is to refine the public views by passing them through the medium of a chosen body of citizens whose wisdom may best discern the true interests of the country. And so we have representative government. And more than that, we have a bicameral, that is, two-tiered legislature, a Congress with a highly democratic House of Representatives, and a not very Democratic Senate. Therefore, California, with its massive population, has 52 representatives in the House. Wyoming has one. Yet Wyoming has two senators, the same number as California and every other state. A pure Democrat would say that's unfair. Each Wyoming resident has far more power than every Californian. But a Republican would say, well, we aren't and shouldn't be a pure democracy. If we were, large population states like California would overwhelm the needs and interests of small population states like Wyoming. That's why we're called the United States of America. Each state has its own separate identity, holds its own separate elections. Just as we don't want one person or small group of people to dominate our government, we don't want one state or a few states to dominate our government. A republic is a way of diffusing power, and a brilliant one at that. We see something similar in the Constitution's procedures for choosing a president. An obvious possibility would have been by a national popular vote. The founders wisely decided against this option. Rather, they created an electoral college to protect the interests of the less populous states. Even today, their decision makes sense. As my Princeton colleague, Professor Alan Gelzo, observes, a direct national popular vote would incentivize campaigns to focus almost exclusively on densely populated urban areas. The electoral college system incentivizes candidates to court voters more broadly, making presidential elections more fully national. So if we understand the system of government our founders bequeathed to us, we will see why they preferred to describe it as a republic rather than a democracy. Of course, it has strong democratic elements, but America was not created to be a pure democracy for very good reasons. Those reasons remain as valid today as they were in 1789. We should not go along with those who today are demanding constitutional changes simply because this or that institution or procedure established by the Constitution, say the Senate or the Electoral College, is not democratic. More democratic doesn't necessarily mean better. It doesn't necessarily mean more just. Our founders understood this. So should we. We have a republic, and we should keep it. I'm Robert George, McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence and Director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University for Prager University.
This video was made possible by a generous donation from the William S. Knight Foundation.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.
I think that was a very good synopsis, and folks, if my audio sounds bad, I brought my cell phone, which is my backup, up to the kitchen to make myself a cup of coffee. So I'm going to switch over now to my headset. Hold on a second.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. Okay, we should be back. Again, I apologize. I just had a five-minute clip there, and I was craving a cup of coffee. So I think he did a very good job, at PragerU describing this whole concept of a democracy versus a republic. Now, many of you may have heard of this document that was put out by the War Department back on November 30th, 1928. It was a rather large book. It was a training manual. It was called Training Manual Number 2000-25. And in it, it had a section. This was a 156-page training manual put together by the War Department for the soldiers. And it had this section on there defining democracy and republic and asking the soldiers to carefully consider what the difference was. Now, there's a couple things in here I'd like to just read, okay, right out of this. And I have a copy of it here, folks. So this manual supersedes Manual of Citizenship Training, the use of the publication, The Constitution of the United States by Harry Atwood, is by permission and courtesy of the author. So here's the definition of citizenship in a democracy. a government of the masses, authority derived through mass meeting or other form of direct expression, results of mockpocracy. Attitude towards property is communistic, negating property rights. Attitude towards law is that the will of the majority shall regulate whether it is based upon deliberation or governed by passion, prejudice, or impulse, without restraint or regard to consequences. Results in demagogism, license, agitation, discontent, and anarchy. And then it goes on to explain the republic in that form of government, which is a government of law. So, you know, the individual is protected, the rights of the individual is protected. Then all of a sudden, they take this out by an order of Major General Chief of Staff Luntz Wall. So he actually removed it. Now, you can still find these documents, folks, and I think that's very important. But I have to keep moving right now. It's time for Back to the Future. Okay, folks, I'd like to wind the clock back now. We're going to wind it back to 1958. And what I'd like to do is show you a I'm getting a call from my plant, which is very distracting. So I don't know why that's happening. We've got people in place to handle all the problems. I just checked. I don't see any emergencies on any of our WhatsApp apps or anything. So I'm going to continue with this show. But if I sound a little distracted, I had a urge for a cup of coffee. I apologize for that. And then I get a call from the plant on my cell phone. Anyways, let's get into this book written back in 1958 titled The Naked Communist, Exposing Communism and Restoring Freedom. This was written by a man, a former FBI, I think he was FBI official, named W. Cleon Skousen. And it's been reprinted, I think, six times, the last time in 2017 with a intro by Mark Deakins. Now, folks, this book is phenomenal. And it's so exciting to see a book like this stay in print for so long, from 1958 all the way up to 2017. And yet to think that it was published in 58, and it was almost prophetic in everything that it warned about and talked about. And I'm telling you, and I'm encouraging you folks, to get a copy of this book. You can pick them up in used bookstores. Amazon has it now in the reprint version. You can even get the book on tape or Audible. So this goes all the way back to the 50s, and I have a quote here from the editor of the last edition. And he says, after the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, these formerly enslaved by the tyrannical system tore down the monuments to their former oppressors. Sound familiar? While this was happening, certain American leftists were more than happy to salvage some of these memorials to communism, like the one pictured above. And they're showing a picture of, I think it's Lenin or Stalin, standing in the middle of a community out in Seattle. Rest assured, Antifa and BLM will not be tearing down this particular statue of the old dead white mill. It's true. Here's a quote from Barack Obama. Yes, and you know, he was schooled in all this type of neo-communism. He says, there's little difference between socialism and communism. Both control resources without private enterprise. In both, government has the first and last say on everything. I'm telling you, people, those of us who lived through the horrors of the Cold War, and I'm just old enough to remember the old civil air defense drills. We did it in first and second grade back when I was at St. Margaret Mary's. This alarm would go off in the school and we'd all have to go down to the basement, and they had this room underneath the parking lot we'd go to, and we'd sit huddled in there. The entire eight grades of us, first through eighth grade. So that was probably about 240 of us huddled in this room. I mean, we were packed in there like sardines. That was our air raid shelter. And then if you looked around, there were all these government cans of food and cheese and all this stuff all around us. And we're all sitting down in there with this one light bulb. I remember that, folks. And then we had these other drills. We'd have to run for cover under our desks as these sirens were sounded, you know. I remember that back from the, like, 1966, 1967. I remember that. So the younger people who don't remember all this stuff, maybe they can't fathom what we were taught about socialism and communism over capitalism. But now, wind the clock ahead, all of those of us that still remain, we're the 60 to 80-year-olds from the Fourth Turning book, you know, that talks about four generations, the 0 to 20s and the 60s to 80s. We have a different perspective on these things. When we see a socialist like Bernie Sanders winning all these primaries with his youngest, his biggest group of supporters being the youngsters, you know, the 20-somethings, we get nervous. And the reason we get nervous is we know where this could go. And that's what the Fourth Turning explains. And if you want to know more on the Fourth Turning, I think it's in episode 540, SDG 540. Folks, when we were growing up, I was reminded on a daily basis of the evils of communism and socialism by my parents, by teachers, by the priests. There were even various priests that had radio shows warning about this. It's real, folks. Yet today, no one remembers it. So I want to encourage you to get that book, The Naked Communist, and read it. And if you're not from my generation and you read this, you'll understand. I have a lot of information here, but I'm looking at the clock, and I really don't have time. Here's one thing that Skousen wrote in the book. A communist's most vital tool is the media. Sound familiar? Socialists invade our view, our newsrooms during the Cold War to spread acceptance of communism and move public opinion to the left. And they've been doing it ever since. They skew news on elections to the leftists and excoriate conservative politicians. Think about it, folks. They pre-sold Barack Obama. They facilitated his election victory by pumping him up as the savior for this country. Yet what was he? He was a communist plant. You know the history on Obama. You know who trained him. You know who his stepdaddy was. Goal 15 is to capture a political party. Well, they did. You know, Karl Marx said, theory is capable of gripping the masses as soon as it demonstrates ad hominem, and demonstrates ad hominem as soon as it becomes radical. That's what they did. It was the red versus the blues, the Democrats versus the Republicans. So first they captured the Democratic Party, and then they went after the Republican Party, and that's how we have rhinos and neoconservatives today. Folks, we are being taken over by a communistic ideal that is going to be so devastating that you're not going to recognize the land you wake up in one day. That's why we need to stand up while we still can and say no. Now, this book was so impactful that portions of it were read into the congressional records. And I first heard about this book back when I was working with William Cooper. It was included in his like 500-page document dump that you could buy. And that was before the internet, folks. So if you wanted all this, they were called the treason documents. So you'd send Bill, I think it was $80 to cover the photocopy expenses. And he would send you this huge packet. It was about 3 inches thick of all these documents. And in it was the congressional record appendix A34 and A35 from January 10th, 1963, where this portion of the book, The Naked Communist, was read into the congressional record. So, who was it? It was some congressperson extending the remarks of Congressman Herlong, Jr. of Florida. These are what was read in, these 45 communist goals. And I'm just going to cherry pick through these. U.S. acceptance of coexistence is the only alternative to atomic war. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference of engaging in atomic war. Developed the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Remember all those SALT talks, folks? Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Folks, Clinton transferred all of the missile technology to China. China is a communist nation. The communist, Chinese Communist Party. Yet we have them as a trading partner. Extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Folks, you know this whole financial embargo and everything that's going on in Russia right now? The two big DeFell banks, do you know how much money they've loaned to Russia for the development of Russia's natural resources? Do you know how many loans are going to go into default right now? Do you know why they had to do that $1.5 trillion bill in the dark of the night last week or this week? These banks will become insolvent. The whole system's coming down, folks. Number six, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. Grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. This goes on and on. Prolong the conference to ban atomic tests because the U.S. has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. Allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do away with loyalty oaths. Folks, did you know that you used to have to take a loyalty oath before you could be sworn in as a representative on state? I think even local, but definitely state and federal government. Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Capture one or both of the political parties. I mentioned that one. Now they have both. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Don't we see a lot of that? Don't we see legislation from the bench anymore? To gain control of schools, gain control of student newspapers, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Did you hear about the colleges where the students are going into the libraries and burning books right now? Folks, this is what happened in Nazi Germany. And folks, why do I bring up Nazi Germany when I'm talking about a communist? Well, both are socialists. The only difference is the Marxists or the communists advocate global communism, whereas the Nazis advocated nationalistic communism. Maybe we'll talk about that next week, the difference between a Nazi and a communist. They're not as different as you think, folks. So they also go on in goal number 20 to infiltrate the press. 21, gain control of the radio, TV, and motion pictures. Continue discrediting American culture. Don't we see that? We're tearing down all the statues, eliminating our history. Control of art critics and directors of museums. You know, there's a really good book out by Ayn Rand on modern art and how it was a goal of the communists to confuse beauty and the meaning of beauty. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship. And a violation of free speech in the press. That's how we got into this whole porn movement we have today. You know, porn good, independent critical thought bad. You know, you can put any kind of obscenity, sexual obscenity, up on Twitter and all these other social media sites, and you won't get banned. You won't get censored. But if you put one critical thought concerning anything in the current narrative today, then you get shadow banned. And worse yet, they take your account down. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. That's number 26. Infiltrate the churches. That's happening. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools. That's what they did, folks. When I was young, we used to pray. Then it became a silent moment of prayer. And then we stopped that altogether by the time I graduated. Discredit the American Constitution, calling it inadequate. Did you just hear that one person on MSNBC, that black man with the big afro, saying we should get rid of the Constitution? Discredit the founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats with no concern for the common man. Belittle all forms of American culture. Number 32, support any socialist movement. That's what the BLM Antifa issue was, and turning the blind eye to all those people that burned down cities and getting them out on bail. And that's why George Soros and Kamala Harris and all these people were doing these bail issues for these people. Eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Boy, that's in the process, isn't it? Gain control of the labor unions. Gain control of big business. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Defund the police. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose the communist agenda. Discredit the family as an institution. 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of their parents. Remember Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village? It's right out of this, folks. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. Mostly peaceful protests, folks, that's how we started Kabuki Theater back in 2000. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. That's what the CIA went around and did with all these color revolutions funded by George Soros. Folks, this is real. Internationalize the Panama Canal. You know who owns it now? Red China. Repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States cannot prevent the World Court. The World Court is a farce, folks. I could go on and on. I encourage you to get this book by Skousen, The Naked Capitalist. If you can't find it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. I have a PDF copy of an earlier edition that's out of copyright. I'll send it to you. kdbeer1961@gmail.com. Folks, please, please, please. Now, how does this apply to the present? Need I say more? Take your pick. It's like a buffet at the casino. Whatever you feel like eating, there's a smorgasbord there. Take whatever you want. Pick any topic du jour. These goals, these 45 goals of the communists are in place, and they're very close to bringing this country down. Khrushchev says as he beat his shoe on the podium at the UN, he said, "We will fall from within." And that's what's happening, folks. So take your pick. You know, Jesus warned us about all of this in Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 through 22, where he said there's going to be trouble on a scale beyond what the world has ever seen or will ever see again. If these days of trouble were left to run their course, nobody would make it. But on account of God's chosen people, the trouble will be cut short. So I'm telling you, folks, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And the only way we can do that is to live with the strong, saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in us and with us. And that, folks, is what I'll show you, is truly the promise that I opened the show with. Now, a lot of people have different interpretations of what that promise is, but St. Peter, and I want to call up my dictionary right now, my Bible dictionary. And, you know, the one thing I avoid, and I think it's really important, is you need to avoid to go down this rabbit path, this rabbit hole of, well, the Hebrew means this and the Hebrew means that. I just want to share this with you. And this is out of Peter's epistle, okay? And where is it? And saying this is a promise of his coming, no. And this is the promise, this is out of the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So a portion of this promise is eternal life. And you know, folks, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians, that all things are made new. So you become a new creature. You have a heart transplant, so your heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh. You have your lamp filled with oil, your lamp, your spirit, which the Bible says is the lamp of the Lord, is filled with the Holy Spirit oil, and it gives light to your heart, which is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, so you have direction. So these are all parts of this promise. And he also promised us to look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he says the Lord's not slack concerning his promise. This is St. Peter. As some men count slackness, because people are going around saying, oh, I've been hearing this for years, bro, Ken. I'm telling you, this promise is amazing. This promise is exciting. And really what it is it's to be partakers in the divine nature of God. Now, by that, I don't mean that we become deity, because we're not. But we share certain elements of his being. And St. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians that we share in the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. And we're also imputed with his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And folks, if you study the faith of in any Bible other than the King James, even the New King James, it becomes faith in. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we're all imputed with a certain measure of faith. And I call that tap water faith, carnal faith. We all have that faith. But when we're born again, we receive the faith of Jesus Christ. And I call that saving faith. Now, this isn't optimism. It's not a positive attitude. It's not your old carnal faith either, folks. I call that faith, light bulb or tap water faith, like I said. I'm talking about a faith that is literally the faith that Jesus Christ had. You get that faith, folks. That's the faith that enables you to put your arms up in the air in the form of a surrender and saying, forsaking all, F-A-I, trust, that's the T, him, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. And folks, that's Jesus. And when you receive that gift of faith, it's a confidence, a conviction, and an ability to communicate and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the essence of the promise that's talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. So all of these people in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith had that normal carnal faith, looking forward to, anticipating this incredible gift that would come when Jesus did his work on the cross. So this promise, this saving faith, it's not altered by appearance. It's not hindered by our feelings or circumstances. Saving faith isn't limited by logic either, folks, because it goes beyond logic. It doesn't mean it's illogic. It just transcends or supersedes logic. So essentially what I've just given you is a description of what saving faith is and what it isn't, and why it's so different from carnal or tap water faith that all of mankind possesses. That's the major faith we all have when we're born. And what enables us to take that step in faith to receive this incredible gift the gospel tells us about. So there's a difference between carnal faith and saving faith. Now, what I'd like to do with the rest of this message, and I have a total of 6 minutes. I'm never going to get it done. I wanted to talk a little bit about the dynamics of saving faith. So I told you that when we receive this gift of salvation, we literally receive the wisdom and power of God. So we're to live by a spiritual wisdom. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So this spiritual wisdom reveals to us that the visible is made out of the invisible, that the God of the Bible isn't explained or argued by any kind of logic. The God of the Bible, theology, his story is presented to us as fact in the Bible. And that's what you have to know. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So spiritual wisdom is given by this gift-saving faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And skeptics will say, well, try to prove to me there's a God. And you know what I say to them? Prove to me there isn't. In other words, all people are believers. There are those who believe in God and those who believe there's no God. One has the saving faith of Jesus Christ, and the other has that old carnal tap water faith. But there is belief involved in everybody. Now, folks, I'm down to 4 minutes, and I have literally 4 pages of notes I wanted to cover here. I don't think I'm ever going to get through all of this. So when you do receive this gift, you need to go to the Lord in spirit and in truth and worship. And that's the key to it all. You know, when Nehemiah went back to rebuild the walls, the first thing he did was erect an altar so that they could worship. And that's very important. Very important, folks, that we honor the Lord and recognize him and all that he did. And there's also another dynamic to this gift of saving faith, and that is what I'll call spiritual wealth. Again, from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God rewards us. And how does he reward us? By this gift of saving faith. And when you do receive that, you partake in the divine nature of God. You share in the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. But glory, folks, do you see this? So it's not according to any understanding we have. It's according to the mind of Christ. It's not your fame or your feelings or your fortune or even your friends or your fate. It's this gift of saving faith, folks. And it's not according to any degree to which you exercise this gift. It's just the fact that you have it. So I'm not advocating some name it and claim it theology here. Saving faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. So if you pray without saving faith, or while you harbor iniquity in your heart, don't expect an answer. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Saving faith is the dynamic of spiritual wealth. So you need to ask yourself some questions, folks. How spiritually strong are you? How spiritually wealthy are you? How many and what kind of reserves do you have in your storehouse? Are they material or are they spiritual? And then let's wrap this up, and I have 2 minutes, with the destination of saving faith. So let's view life as a journey in his story, history, and we all have a part to play. You may be a period, I may be a comma, somebody might be an exclamation point or even a small letter like V or A. But remember, it's all about Jesus. And our life is truly a journey, and we're all headed somewhere. Where are we headed? To the New Jerusalem, to our home. We're just sojourners, remember? So our course is charted. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I'm telling you, folks, we have a destination. We have a race with a goal. And our goal is to find, to follow, and to finish the will of God. And folks, that's it. We should be motivated because we have a gallery in heaven cheering us on, all the saints. And we should be separated from the surplus that is upon us. So if you have too much stuff, get rid of it. Think about a runner. They wear light shoes, shorts, and a shirt. But they don't have an overcoat on. They're not taking a backpack with them. They carry nothing to the finish line that is unnecessary. And we have to have that same mentality in the spirit realm to accomplish this race, to win, you know? So just get rid of all the excess baggage and liberate yourself from any snares of sin. If there's any sin in your life, repent of it. Lay it aside and then run this race with patience and determination. And remember that you can trust him, and him is Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that fires that start gun, and he's the one that waves the finish flag. He's the coach that coaches us to run. And folks, I'm out of time. So put your eyes upon the Lord Jesus and think about it like this. Picture that you're scared of heights, and you've got to walk across a long, tall bridge. Eyes fixed on the goal across that bridge, and don't look down. That's the confidence you can have in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So look up to Jesus and see that he is our all in all. And through Jesus Christ, we can do all things because he strengthens us. So make him your all in all. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. And remember, the saving faith comes by hearing, and hearing only by the word of God. And folks, in the words of Winston Churchill, once you begin to exercise this saving faith, never give in, never give in, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And folks, never forget what has been accomplished by faith. And imagine what we, the people who stand in him, who stand on the rock of ages, who put our hands up and said, forsaking all, I trust him. Imagine, just imagine what we could do through saving faith. I love y'all.
Of a home.